Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gotta draw a line somewhere, don't we? This is Wretched Radio. Granted, too many people are drawing unnecessary lines. A lot of lines of division need to be erased these days. Somebody says something, it's a word choice. Hey, wait a second. This isn't my understanding of the global economy. You're out of here. And we're dividing too frequently. But there are folks on the other side of the spectrum who seem to refuse to draw lines at all. They seem to be reticent, I say reticent, to say, that ain't Christian. That's outside of orthodoxy. That is not acceptable. A case in point, number one, David French. David French sat down with Ali Beth Stuckey. He's a New York Times journalist. He's an author. He's a professing evangelical and yet increasingly bending to the left. Good on Ali Beth for sitting down with him. She's very gracious. I don't think I've ever seen her crabby. And she sat down with somebody. Clearly, she disagrees with him on the issue of James Tallarico. What's a James Tallarico? If you haven't been following him, you should, because this young man, he's Bill Clinton-like. When Bill Clinton ran for office, was it 88? That seems about, was it 80? No, it had to have been 90, something like that. Because I was married at the time, and I remember Mrs. Friel came home. I was watching the Democratic debates, and she was like, well, you're a better man than I am. Well said, honey. And I was watching the debates and she said, was there anybody who stood out? And I said, yeah, actually, there was a guy from Arkansas, governor. He just had a presence about him. And the way that he comported himself was just different than the other guys. Well, that, of course, was Bill Clinton. James Tallarico, not the same. I don't think that he has the same type of presence, but he has that same sort of air about him, where he seems very calm and yet very confident, but he's very wrong because that's what he's being taught at his Presbyterian seminary, where he's getting apparently his master's degree in theology. Not sure they actually use the Bible for that degree, but his theology is horrible. Jimmy, did you just look up Bill Clinton's first election?
I did not, no.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
Okay, I will.
Oh, good, because it's driving me nuts. David French, sitting down with Ali Beth Stuck, refused to say that James Tallarico is outside of orthodoxy. Really? Really? How hard is this? This is what David French said. His kindness towards opponents, his openness toward opponents, in that, to me, that's acting like a Christian. Fair enough. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what he means by openness toward opponents, because Christianity is shut. We don't have an open door theological policy. The door is shut. But can we be nice to people? Of course we can. Of course we should. Of course we even need to honor those in political places. I know that's a hard word. In fact, if I could just take a little discursus, apparently, Friel, you're about to. On Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, the text was government, submitting to the government. That's the beauty of expository preaching. It is not a subject I would have chosen, but the text chose the subject because we're preaching all the way through a Bible book. Then you just don't have a choice. You can't just gloss over it. And so you need to preach on something that apparently God has decided is the subject du jour. And afterwards, some people brought up a really good question, because I didn't dive into this particular aspect of 1 Peter. I think it's 2:19-ish in that neighborhood. Honor all people, honor them all. Okay, we can kind of handle that. And then it tells us to fear God, love the brethren, and honor the king. And suddenly we go, hey, ha, 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 ha. How am I supposed to do that when the dude's a scoundrel? That's a great question, isn't it? And so I did a little dive into the word honor. I think the reason, because as soon as there were several people brought it up after church, you know, how do you honor these people when their policies are so wicked? That's a real, and I had to go, you know, that's worthy of a little study, isn't it? And as I noodled it, I think the issue is our understanding of what it means to honor. So if we did a word association game and I said, honor that guy, you would think, okay, so like ticker tape parade, I need to say like good things about that person. So it's not just a neutral position. It's an affirming position. I think that that's the baggage that we bring with the word honor. And I don't think that it has to. I think that it can. I think the semantic range of the word allows for that. But I don't think that it has to. The word that he used, timao, it's to value, to esteem, to assign worth. This is the semantic range. To treat as weighty or significant or worthy of recognition. Now you say, that's the problem right there. I can't, how do I recognize what they're doing? Because what they're doing is so bad. Well, I think first of all, it means you don't necessarily have to say positive things that don't exist, but you can find something positive to say, something, even if it's how they tie their shoes. But more than that, I think it's a simply not saying the nasty stuff. Does that mean you can't criticize? Didn't say that. But it is honoring them by not blasting them, by not speaking in pejoratives toward them, no ad hominems against them. We just have to practice restraint. Now, again, that does not mean that you can't say anything about their policies, but personal attacks, that would be to not honor them. And so by withholding those, even if they're fair observations about the person, that's to honor them. You honor them by not dishonoring them, by practicing self-control. So honoring all people, we don't have an issue with that. But I would ask you a question. If it were, let's just say it's somebody who's not a politician, it's not a famous person, we're supposed to honor that person. It's the person who lives down the street. So does that mean that you need to put up posters in your front yard saying, he's a really great guy? No, that doesn't. You can if you want to. That would be honoring. But if it's somebody who's not a good neighbor, how do you honor them? Well, you don't gossip with the other neighbors about the neighbor. You don't say things against him. You don't even mutter them amongst family. You honor them by not saying disparaging things. That's a part of it, I grant you. Doesn't mean that we agree with everyone. Doesn't mean that we're approving behavior, but it does mean that we can be civil. And I think that is to honor them. Furthermore, when it is not commanding us to sin or forbidding us from obeying a command or a violation of jurisdictional authority, we do what we're told. That's to honor them. So we have respectful speech about them. We obey when we can. We are not cynical. We're not contemptuous toward them. Gulp. We acknowledge their authority, even when they're flawed, we acknowledge their authority, and we pray for them. I think that's how we honor them. And again, it can to honor them, if your heart is just filled with malice, well, then you're sinning in your heart. You need to work on that. But I think that when we understand that honor doesn't necessarily mean agreement, that's hard, isn't it? Doesn't mean agreement. We feel like if I'm not saying something, that's an affirmation. And there are instances where that can actually happen. But in general, honor doesn't mean agreement. You can still strongly oppose. You don't have to flatter. You don't have to make things up that aren't true. And honor doesn't just apply to worthy people. It applies to them because God has placed them there, and it's an acknowledgement that God is using them. That's a perspective changer. When you think about a really rotten bunch of rulers, like the potential rulers I was watching on the Democratic debate, was that last night? I don't know why. They had three or four Democrats and two Republicans. I don't know who those Republicans are, but everything they said, I was like, yeah, Yeah. They were really good because they kept pointing back to, let's not talk about the gas tax. Let's talk about how the Democrats have been running this place. They were really on point. And then the Democrats, of course, basically one degree of socialism versus the other. And I'm watching it and I'm thinking to myself, oh, those people are just going to inflict more pain on people. So how do I still honor them? I recognize that they are instruments in the Redeemer's hands. He's using them as ministers. He's using them to accomplish much grander things than political. It's not about temporal. It's about eternal in God's economy. Not that temporal isn't at all significant, but it's insignificant compared to eternal things. And that can then cause me to honor them because God has them there because God is using them. Jimmy, what year did Bill Clinton, was it 92?
Yeah, it was. It was 92.
And now, all right, this is going to hurt a little bit. Kind of miss those Clinton years, don't you? Compared to
yep.
The Democrats of these days. Speaking of Democrats, James Tallarico, should we be drawing a line with him? David French can't. I'll make the case we ought to next on Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're gonna get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Booznitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit FortisPlus.org.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to FortisPlus.org and walk like a man.
Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the Kingdom of Heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
David French can't draw a line, but we can and should. This is Wretched Radio, appearing on the Ellie Beth Stuckey program. Journalist David French defending James Tallarico. His policies? No. His Christianity. And you say, what? Ellie Beth Stuckey, she wasn't giving David French any quarter. She was polite. She was gracious. But she just kept asking, how can he, James Tallarico, qualify as a Christian when he uses the Bible to endorse abortion, transgender surgeries for children, the LGBTQ issues? How's about his thinking that God is non-binary? David French, listen to the reasoning, because this could catch on to a degree. This is basically liberal. David French. He's just expressing classic liberalism. He said, too many people are very eager to write people out of Christianity based on their political positions. Well, that's a little bit of a sleight of hand, because he's got more than political positions that are awful. And don't forget that political positions are always based in worldview, whether it's a secular worldview, a Christian Judeo worldview. Doesn't matter. It's always grounded in worldview. And so if an individual has a position, we can track it to their theology. And James Tallarico, he falls far short. He's a universalist. We listened to his Easter sermon. He couldn't find the doctrine of justification if it fell on top of his noggin, apparently. So David French kind of does a little shell game with us. Hey, don't judge him based on his political positions. Well, I'm gonna. It would be like saying that somebody, they robbed a grocery store. Well, don't judge him based on that. Why not? That's an action. It's a belief. Quote, I'm just really not willing to say that James Tallarico is not a Christian. I'm just not going to do it. I would ask David French, tell me, give me an example. Name three people that you would. Three people. Tell me. Would you name three? And I wonder that if he could come up with three. Speaking of those that are apparently not willing to draw lines, we'll be releasing a video on this. There was a snippet that was making its way around social media. It was Dallas Jenkins sitting inside of a BYU, Brigham Young University studio. Todd, we know what BYU is. And he was being interviewed by two Mormon professors. And he called himself, it was joking, so I think that he was trying to be funny, that he's the designated ambassador for Mormonism. I think he meant that tongue in cheek. Nevertheless, he affirmed the Mormon understanding of Jesus Christ. In fact, he actually criticized his fellow evangelicals for not being as reverential as Mormons are. What? And so we're doing a lengthy treatise on what Mormons believe about Jesus Christ, because Christology is important. And in doing so, I went and grabbed my old book. It's yellow. The pages are yellow. It's Walter Martin's The Kingdom of the Cults. This thing had to have been written, what, in the 60s? Wow, Hank Hanegraaff was the general editor. Where's Hank these days? Is he still doing radio? Is he still Orthodox, or is he moved on to the next denomination? Okay, it was copyrighted in 1965. I'm sure it's been updated since then. It's a bestseller. It's worth having on your bookshelf. It covers all of the cults, and he includes Mormonism. And I had dog-eared this page when I read this book, however many years ago, The Truth About the God of the Mormons. And I started reading it again and I went, wow, we're going to just trust that Dallas Jenkins has no idea about any of this, because there's no way that he can confer or affirm the Mormon religion as being within Christian orthodoxy when you understand the Mormon view of God, of Jesus, of salvation, of the Bible. Let me share with you from the book, The Kingdom of the Cults. This is about Mormonism. In the beginning, and by the way, I won't cite all of the references, but it's all from Mormon literature. In the beginning, the head of the gods, I'm sorry, what? In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people in it. That's teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, by the way. God himself was once as we are now. huh? And is an exalted man. Hello? How can we not draw a line with this? How can Dallas Jenkins say they're good to go? Then they honor Jesus more than we do. So in other words, Jesus, by the way, too, is just an exalted man. He's a man just like you and I are. He's just preeminent. He's been elevated to a higher status, but he's ontologically the same. Huh? The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also. But the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit. That's from Doctrines and Covenants. That's one of their esteemed books on the same level as the Bible. That's not Trinitarian theology. God is spirit. Jesus is the God-man. And why they distinguish the Holy Ghost as not having being corporeal and yet a person, but not the Father and the Son is, well, it's a little suspicious, isn't it? God exists, and we had better strive to be prepared to be one with them. God's exist, and we had better strive to be prepared to be one with them. Gods? Gods exist? No. God exists. See, that's what makes Mormonism attractive to some. You, if you do enough good, if you don't sin very much, you one day can be your own God on your own planet, making your own spirit babies. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. That's Prophet Lorenzo Snow in a book called The Gospel Through the Ages. From Mormon literature, each of these gods, including Jesus Christ and his Father, being in possession of not merely an organized spirit, but a glorious immortal body of flesh and bones. That's heresy. Every one of these statements has been heretical. Every single one of them. 7. Quote, this is the 7th quote from Kingdom of the Cults. And then the Lord said, let us go down. And they went down at the beginning. And they, that is the gods, organized and formed the heavens and the earth. That's interesting. That's not what Genesis says. Remember that God, our Heavenly Father, was perhaps once a child and mortal like we ourselves, and rose step by step in the scale of progress, in the school of advancement, has moved forward and overcome until he has arrived at the point where he is now. That's heresy. Can we not draw a line on this? Can we not say that's outside of orthodoxy? And it's not because we're snooty, and it's not because we're cruel. We're concerned. And the point of the video that we made on this subject is we should be concerned about those who defend Mormonism. Because they either have to be really, really ignorant, or they really, really don't understand correctly about Jesus Christ and who he is and the necessity of getting our Trinitarian theology correct. Historically, it's always been determined you got to have this right or you are anathema. This is from another one of their prophets. Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God the Eternal Father was once a mortal man who passed through a school of earth life. Similar to that which we are now passing. He became God, an exalted being, through obedience to the same eternal gospel truths that we are given opportunity today to obey. So in other words, God was once a sinner. How's that sitting with you? Can we not draw a line on this? Christ was the God, the Father of all things. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. No. He's the Son. He's a distinct person. The Father is another distinct person. This would then enter into the realm of patripassianism, that the Father then suffered on the cross for our sins. No, Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins. This is a complete confusion of Trinitarian theology. Quote, when our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He helped to make and organize the world. He is Michael, the archangel, the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. You say, well, that must be an obscure person in Mormonism. No, that was Brigham Young of the university, by the way. Last quote, historically, the doctrine of Adam-God was hard for even faithful Mormons to believe. As a result, June 8, 1873, Brigham Young stated how much unbelief exists in the minds of the Latter-day Saints in regard to one particular doctrine which I revealed to them and which God revealed to me, namely that Adam is our father and God. I don't know how they handle Romans 5, but that's Mormon dogma. That's the belief of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that is now being overlooked. And I think Dallas Jenkins has some splaining to do, because not only is he allowing Mormons to stay in their confusion, but he's allowing Christians to be confused about correct Christology and Trinitarian theology. If we can't draw a line on Mormonism, then put your pencil away, because no lines can be drawn at all. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.